And that's Notorious, 80s pop super hits. And on the line, we are very honored today. We have a high-ranking official here from the Western Cape Department of Agriculture, Dr. Solomon Bundy. Doctor, good afternoon, and thank you very much for taking time out to chat to Caledon FM about the scourge that's happening in our country, the foot and mouth disease. Are you there? Hello, Doc. We're on the air. Thank you very much. Sir, can you briefly just explain, some of our people don't understand exactly what foot and mouth disease is and why it's such such a huge concern for livestock farmers and especially the economy here in the Western Cape.
So foot and mouth disease is a very contagious, highly contagious viral disease. So it's caused by a virus called foot and mouth disease virus. It is a disease that has been confined in the northern part of the country around Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and around KwaZulu-Natal. So the rest of the country was regarded as a foot and mouth disease free area, meaning there was no foot and mouth at all in these areas. And Western Cape, for the very first time, had the first case of foot and mouth disease in November of 2025. And we managed to control it because it was in an area that was easy. I mean, there was a fencing. And so it is a controlled disease.
Sorry, we're losing you
the
there.
The government is mandated to take actions in terms of control because it's highly contagious. It cannot be controlled by an individual person. We need a lot of resources. And now in the Western Cape, the keeping of animals is very important for the economy of the province, for the GDP of the province. So when animals get foot and mouth disease, they've got very painful sores in their feet, and it's called foot and mouth, and in their mouth, they can't eat.
Oh my God. They are
painful, they struggle to walk, they lose weight. So farmers, you know, they struggle to sell these animals at a proper weight. So even if they do, they will sell it at a very cheap price because they are not gaining weight. Then the other major important is that it has got major trade implications on export. Once other countries hear that you have got foot and mouth, they refuse to accept your meat, they refuse to accept your animal, live animals, some to an extent of even refusing to accept grass that you farm. In the communal areas, they are very much dependent on livestock, on selling for school fees for the kids, and you know, day-to-day living as a source of protein. And when these animals are infected, some of them actually die.
Sure.
So it's not a major killer disease, but it can kill cows. They tend to die from heart attack, and also there are major losses to the livestock industry due to foot and mouth. The good thing about it is that it is not a zoonotic disease, meaning it does not affect humans.
So, sir, if you say it does not affect humans, if a cow with foot and mouth is then slaughtered, the meat is still safe to eat.
Hello, Pete.
I said if a cow with foot and mouth is slaughtered, can we eat the meat?
It can, the meat can be eaten and it won't affect the people at all.
I see. I also understand that the mortality rate amongst calves and young animals is especially high.
Yes.
Oh, that's a pity.
The young animals, they tend to get the severe form of the disease in the sense that it tends to cause heart attack in those and sometimes severe pneumonia, yes.
That's so bad. So what are the main signs? You said there are sores on the hooves and in the mouth. What must farmers and livestock owners look out for other than the sores?
So the most common signs that they would see, and those are the signs that usually many farmers would call me, you know, asking for, dear salivation. So they salivate a lot. You just see this ropey saliva from the
salivate,
mouth.
They salivate, yes.
And yes. You know, it's very rare that cattle or sheep or goats will just salivate. So once you see them salivating, you know there is a problem. They do those salivation because of the sores in their mouth.
The pain,
and they just
yes.
A lot of saliva and all that. That is one of the most obvious signs. But apart from that, you can see them chewing. They are literally chewing nothing in the mouth.
Oh.
It does not stop chewing because they are painful. They do what we call teeth grinding. So they're just chewing nonstop because of pain. And those are obvious signs that they can see. And many livestock owners, they know their animals. Once they notice something abnormal, they notice that this is not right because they see them every day. But the main sign is that a sign of producing a lot of saliva and numbness.
So when a farmer sees that, there's a specific... It's critical that they call the state veterinary services immediately. Is that right?
It is. You are very right, Pete. So as soon as they notice those abnormal signs, and in this current situation where we are dealing with this outbreak, I think even whatever you see, rather over-report than to under-report.
True.
Over-suspect than to not think it is not foot and mouth until we come out and say, no, don't worry, this is not foot and mouth. So we encourage them to report immediately, and then by law, because this disease, there is a legislation that guides how it is managed.
Yes, yes.
So as soon as they suspect that, they notify the nearest state veterinarian, they should notify their neighbor.
Oh, yes, of course, because the neighbors must know about that. Yes.
Disease. Tell your neighbor that it looks like I have a problem here. Just be careful that your animals do not come towards my side so that at least you can protect against the spread.
Doctor, if you now hear of this and you respond, you go out to the farm, is it the first line of defense, if I may call it that, is the inoculation with the foot and mouth disease injection? Is that right?
That's very right. That's very right, yes. So basically, as soon as we called, we respond immediately. And by immediately, I mean within the hour that I'm told, the latest we can be is 24 hours. Because we are dealing with an outbreak now, we go there immediately. First thing, we check those signs. Are they consistent with foot and mouth disease?
True.
If the answer is yes, we collect samples immediately and vaccinate at the same time. So we are not going to wait for the lab results to come back because we
vaccinate. Because
with,
yes, it must be done.
Them, yes,
it must be done.
Yes.
How long after you vaccinated? Let's just take this. There's an animal now, and you look at it and you know this is foot and mouth. How long after you've given the inoculation does the symptoms go away or get alleviated? Because that's something I don't know anything about.
Yes, so it varies from animal to animal based on their strength of their immune system.
True.
But most of the time, if we vaccinate today in an animal that is showing clinical signs, between day 3 and day 10, the symptoms resolve.
That sounds excellent. So it's very, very important that the farmer with distressed animals get in contact with you guys immediately.
That is very, very critical for the control of the spread because, like I said, it's extremely highly contagious. It moves between animal to animal in a matter of seconds. So as soon as we get to know that there's an outbreak, we come and take these measures, we vaccinate, and we put the farm under quarantine. So quarantine means we are saying to the farmer, do not move animals from this area or do not accept any animals into this area until this disease is under control.
So how do you know that a farm is now, you've inoculated animals, but how do you know that that farm is now safe?
So what we do is that after the inoculation, we have sent the samples away to the laboratory for testing. Laboratory results come back confirming that it is foot and mouth disease. The farm is under quarantine. We do our regular checks weekly. So we go every week to check how are the animals doing. Have the signs resolved? Ideally, we vaccinate today because, of course, of the vaccine shortage. Even now, we're starting to get more supply, but we have a vaccine shortage. If it was not for the case of vaccine shortage, we vaccinate on day one, after 3 to 4 weeks, we vaccinate again, we give a booster depending on which vaccine was used, and we vaccinate again in 6 months.
I see. Now,
and then we'll be monitoring, so we can have other farms around the area having or coming out of that quarantine. Basically, we go back and test them. They test negative. We test again after 2 weeks. They test negative. We lift the quarantine.
Now, I come from the old Northern Transvaal area, and I know about the yellow lines and so on. That was the foot and mouth lines for you, as you said earlier, for the buffalo, because they are the endemic carriers of foot and mouth. Now, a farm here in the Western Cape that had an outbreak, how long before you can say that the virus on the grass, because I know it gets spread like that in the feces, etc., etc. How long before we know that farm, if an uninoculated animal comes, won't get infected again just because of the environment?
Yes. So that is a continuous monitoring that we do. We come in, we vaccinate. After vaccination, we go back and do weekly monitoring. But there is a minimal period if it's an area, let's say, with a proper fencing. We know that no animals are moving in and out. After the minimum is at least 28 days. After the 28 days, we can test the animals and see if they are showing any clinical signs, and test again in 2 weeks' time and see if they are showing any clinical signs. And then from there, we start counting what we call day zero. So the animals are not showing clinical signs anymore. Now we start counting on how long will the quarantine stay. Because of even if the animals are no longer showing clinical signs, they can still act as carriers of the virus.
Absolutely, yes.
So, yes. We just keep place to place and how the control measures are being implemented and adhered to. Some places can be 3 months. Some places 6 months, some places even years.
So, doctor, if that happens a year, so that means that the farmer cannot sell those cattle on. Is that right? Or once the symptoms disappear, can the cattle be sold?
So the first thing is we put the farm under quarantine. There are measures and protocols that are put in place that we can give exceptions. In some areas, there are abattoirs that are going to be opened to or to be allowed to slaughter or accept FMD-infected animals. So they are allowed to slaughter them following a separate, different procedure on dealing with FMD-infected animals. Then, and those animals will move under what we call a Red Cross permit. They are coming from a high-risk area. We authorize that they can move for direct slaughter. So that's your sheep, your goats, your cattle. And then once the abattoir receives animals on a Red Cross permit, they know exactly how to handle those animals.
That's good news. And the good news for consumers is that the meat is absolutely safe.
Yes.
Doctor, thank you so much. We've had a lovely interview with Dr. Solomon Bundy. He is a state veterinarian. And thank you, Doctor, for your time and informing us here in Caledon FM, the whole of the Overberg and Overstrand area, about foot and mouth. www.elsenberg.com, and report any suspected cases to your nearest state veterinarian. Biosecurity is a shared responsibility. Doctor, one last word from your side.
So it is very important, and I'm happy to say that our stakeholders, AgriSA, law enforcement, SAPS, and traffic, they are all on board helping us to control this disease, because it's been declared a national disaster. So all stakeholders are on board to try and eradicate this disease from the province. Farmers themselves, they are also on board. They are cooperating. We are doing disease awareness, educating the farmers, telling them on what to do, how to practice biosecurity measures to prevent spread of the disease, what does the quarantine mean. And many of them are cooperating.
There we are. Woorde is vergete en toch die dinkie dra soos vaag bekende greepies in
baie ou verhaal. Van Schuiver.